Always a privilege and a pleasure to meet with the Lord's people. I pray continually for the Lord's people, wherever they are, those I've never met, never seen, probably never will see in this life. And I pray for all of his ministers, wherever they are, that God would enable them and give them grace to continue to uphold the bloodstained banner of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to speak to you this morning on the subject of coming to Christ. Coming to Christ. Now we know that Christ is the only means, the only way that a man can approach unto God. He's the only mediator between God and men, the only one. And even our prayers can only be received through the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing who he is, what he came to do, what he accomplished, and where he is now. We live in an age when salvation is nothing more than decisionism. Just make a decision. That's all. Just make a decision. But I would like to point out to you this morning by the Holy Scripture that it's more than just making a decision. It's more. The majority of professed religion today are what their parents were, with no consideration of what God has said about it, just what my parents were. If it was good enough for Mama and Daddy and Grandpa and Grandma, it's good enough for me. Well, what does God say? What does God say in His holy word? And apart from God's holy word this morning, we'd be like the heathen. We'd be like the natives in Brazil running around nude, trying to catch something to eat for our survival if we didn't have the word of God. God has blessed this nation with His word. You can go to Walmart, any 5- and 10-cent store, and buy the Holy Bible. Blessed. Which tells us who God is and what He's accomplished. So, I'd like to point out to you this morning, first of all, that no man of his natural state will come to Christ. No man. Someone says, well, I will to come to Christ. Well, if you will to come to Christ, it was because He willed for you to come to Christ. He willed it. The Scripture said He came unto His own nation, His own race, His own people, and they received Him not. And as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the right, or the privilege to become the sons of God, which were born. Now we got to take this thing of which was born in consideration. We were born into this world physically from our natural parents, separated from God. Separated from God. With no desire to know anything about God. But John said, as many as received Him, to them gave He the right of the privilege to become the sons of God which were born. Not of blood, in other words, it doesn't have anything to do with our heritage. Not of the will of man. Now, we want to listen to what God says, not what James Watson says or what Brother Marvin says, but what God's infinite holy word says. They were not born of the will of man or the will of the flesh. That flesh is how you and I came into this world. Natural man. The natural man. Paul said the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. We preach Christ to the Jews as a stumbling block and to the Gentiles foolishness. Sheer nonsense to waste our time preaching to those who are wise in their own minds. So, even to those that our Lord and Savior came to and was born unto, the nation Israel, The ones who have been given the privilege of the oracles of God. The ones who had built the temple, which was called the house of God. Those who went into the temple every Sabbath day to read the scriptures and search the scriptures. Christ said in John, if you'd like to read with me, John 5:41. No, I'm sorry, it's 5:40. He was speaking to the religious leaders of his day. He was speaking to the Pharisees, to the Jews. Now, the Pharisees were, they would be in that day what the Gestapo was to the Germans. They sought out Aaron, anyone that wasn't a Jew, are taught the tradition of the fathers. You remember the Apostle Paul was on his way to Damascus to bring back the Jews, the Christians, and imprison them. He was a Pharisee. And Christ said in verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." Search the Scriptures. They did. Daily they searched the Scriptures. Every Sabbath day, but they were ignorant of what the Scriptures taught. They were more concerned with the tradition of the fathers than they were with the true teaching of the Scriptures. Now look what he said in verse 40. "And ye will not come unto me, that you might have life." Now listen to what he said. "Ye will not come to me." Now that's not hard to be understood, is it? Now that's simple. That's as simple and plain as anyone can speak. "Ye will not come unto me." John, the first chapter, they were not born to the will of the flesh. They were not born to the will of man, but they were begotten of God. The word begotten means born of God. "Ye will not come unto me." You see, the problem is not in understanding the Scriptures. The problem is in believing them. That's where the problem comes in, is believing what God said, taking it at face value. "Lord, I believe it. I believe it. Ye will not come unto me." Speaking to the religious crowd of his day, speaking to the law keepers, speaking to the temple keepers, speaking to those who had advantage over the Gentiles much in every way, Paul said. But he said, "Ye will not come to me." Happy in their religion. They're satisfied in their religion. Rabbi so-and-so said, Rabbi so-and-so said it was this way. That's the way we believe it. On one occasion, they said, ask our master, he says, "Why doesn't your disciples wash before they eat? Why do they break the tradition of the fathers?" See, they were more concerned about tradition than they were about life, spiritual matters. And Christ said, "Ye would rather starve, you'd rather perish, and you will perish if you don't believe that I am here. You're going to die in your sins. You will not come unto me." So, the second thing we want to notice is that no man can come to Christ. First of all, no man wills to come to Christ. The word "will" has something to do with a desire or purpose. And that's what "will" means, a desire or a purpose. If you will to go to town, you desire to go up to a store or whatever, or you purpose to go there. That was your intention, that was your will, and that was your desire. Christ is saying, "You desire not, you purpose not to come unto me." In Romans, the 3rd chapter, and verse 11, the Apostle Paul said, "For there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God." None. You say, "Well, I sought the Lord." If you sought the Lord, it was because He sought you first. He sought you. I was found of them that sought me not. Why in the world would we want to seek God when we are enjoying to the fullest our natural state of being? Sinning hand over fist and enjoying every minute of it. Isn't that right? Sure we do. That's how we were born into this world. That's what we inherited from our father Adam. That's why it's an impossibility for us to change. That's why the Ethiopian can't change his skin, and that's why the leopard can't change his spot. It's contrary to his nature. God can change the Ethiopian's skin. He can change a leopard's spot. But natural man, in his the way he was born into this world, he loves darkness rather than light because his deeds are evil. We love that which is suitable to our nature. Every man does. Every animal does. The whole universe. Everything that's suitable to the nature that they follow. In John 6:44, our Savior said, "No man can come to me." Not hard to understand, is it? Now that's very simple. No man can come to me. Doesn't take a theologian. Doesn't take someone who's highly educated to understand those words. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Now, it didn't say that he can't become religious. He didn't say that a man can't follow the tradition of his fathers like the Jews were doing. It doesn't say that a person might say within himself, "Well, it's time for me to turn over a new leaf. I need to change." It doesn't say that a man doesn't try to offer some works to God to find acceptance with God. That's very common. That men will try to do something to appease or satisfy the anger of a holy God. That's what Cain did when he brought the fruit of the ground to offer unto God. He knew that God must be satisfied. He knew that. The only thing was he didn't have faith in what to bring. He didn't bring the sacrifice, the shed blood, the substitute, the Savior. He brought the works of his own hands, didn't he? Brought the works of his own. The whole world, in general, that's what they're doing today. Because they cannot, of their own natural being, come to Christ. Despite this easy decisionism that we hear today, the Scripture still is valid and still going to stand. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me drawing. Now this drawing is not what we hear, a wooing of the Spirit. We hear so much about the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Now, you young men might woo your girlfriend, but the Holy Spirit doesn't woo. He quickens. He quickens. The word quicken means made alive. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you saints and elders, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You were dead. You were spiritually dead. You might have been religious, but you were spiritually dead until the Holy Spirit quickened you. And this being drawn by God the Father is the quickening power of the Holy Spirit and causing one to see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That through Him, we're made or placed in a position where we can look to God with complete forgiveness of sin. Because God has put away sin in the person of His Son. Has punished sin in His substitute, in His own darling Son. But no man can come to God except the Father which sent me draw. No man can come to Christ. That's what the Master said Himself. No man can. All right, thirdly. It's an impossibility for those to whom God has given unto Christ not to come to Christ. Impossibility. Look at John 6:37. John 6:44 says, no man can. Look at John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You read that? Now that's simple to understand. The problem is believing it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. It's an impossibility that those that God gave to His Son in a covenant of grace and redemption before the world began would not come to Christ. That's an impossibility. They're going to come to Christ. They're going to see their need. They're going to see the satisfaction of Christ, that He's able, due to the fact that He was God manifest in the flesh, that He paid the ultimate price for sin, that He took their sins upon Himself and suffered the holy anger, infinite wrath of God in their room and in their stead. You know, the majority of the religious world today doesn't know what Christ accomplished in His death. They don't know. All they can see is He died, and He died for the whole world, and it's up to you now. No one just like, here I am, boys, whether you want me or whether you don't want me. That's belittling to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That awful, ignominious death that He suffered on the cross. John, in the 17th chapter, he lift up his voice to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I finished it. It's complete. It's finished. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to what? As many as thou hast given him. Here it is. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You see, God, when He quickens a man or a woman, that person, for the first time in his life, realizes the sinfulness of sin. That sin is against God. God Almighty. He who is infinitely holy and cannot look upon sin. Not even when it was found upon His Son. When Christ became a substitute as a Redeemer and as a Savior and took the sin of His people upon Himself, God turned His back upon Him. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't understand that. Let me tell you something this morning, family. Listen to me, brother. We're not going to be brought into the presence of an earthly king. You know, I wouldn't want to be called in before President Bush. I wouldn't. And he's a representative of all the people, and I certainly wouldn't want to be brought in before a sovereign king. We don't know anything about a king. We've never had any dealings with a king. The king's sovereign. We're going to stand before God, the creator of heaven and earth. Not some man, not some old king with long whiskers and a scepter and a crown on his head and a hanky in his hand, a weeping because men won't let him have their way with him. Who spoke the world in existence by His infinite creative power. Hebrews says, as it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. I told my grandson this morning, coming over here, I said, son, remember, the only thing you're going to leave with when you leave this world is your memories. Make them good. Make them good. That's what you're going to die with, your memories. Make them good. But all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They were given to Christ in a covenant of grace and redemption before the world was ever created. You find this in 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Christ stood as a representative of the people that God gave him. He stood as their head, as their representative, that he would bear their sins in his own body on the tree and make them presentable and holy as God himself when he was presented to him. Listen, nothing will ever come into God's presence that's not as holy as he is. And you put that down in your book. Nothing will ever come into the presence of God that's not as holy as he is. Can't have it. He's got to cast it from him. Well, how in the world are we going to ever come into God's presence? In Christ. Christ has presented us blameless. If we're believers, we are presented blameless in his presence. By one offering, now listen, by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Christ did. He perfected them. All right. I'm going to wind it down just a minute. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. Now remember, the first thought was no man can. I mean, no man will. The second was no man can. The next one is all that Father giving will come to him. And that's what Peter said. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You see, I'm just going to throw this in. You wouldn't think about buying a newborn babe a T-bone steak, would you? Can't digest it. It's not old enough. He's got to have the milk. He's got that which would nurture his being. Strong meat, Paul said, are those that are fully grown. That's for those that are mature. Now listen. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now that stone is a metaphor which typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. That stone is Christ. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. What I want us to notice is this coming. This coming. Coming to Christ. It is a continual thing. It's not something that you got fixed up back here 30 or 40 years ago in some place in the Sunday school room, or some soul winner, high pressure evangelist did this, and he said, "Now I assure you, you're saved because I heard you call on the Lord." Listen, this is a continual coming to the Lord. Continual coming to Christ. He's the children's bread. He's our bread. He's the bread of life. He's the water of life. We continually come to Christ. Come to Christ as our mediator. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We've got to come to him. We are not perfect in the flesh yet. Someday, by the promise of God, we're going to be when we're given a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. But we dwell in a sinful body. Continually sinful. So we keep coming to Christ. We keep thirsting after that righteousness, don't we? We keep hungering after Christ and his accomplishments. It's not just a quick affair and it's all over with. No, it's continually coming to Christ. Well, one fellow said he could go to heaven on a stolen horse, drunk, with another man's wife up behind him. That's not coming to Christ. Paul says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid." we continually come to Christ to seek His intercession, to intercede for us, to mediate for us, to be our advocate, to be our great high priest. We continually come to Christ. Not just one time, but all the days of our life. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know when a person first saved and converted, come to see that Christ is their only hope, they're babes in Christ. But we don't stay babes, we grow. We keep coming to Christ, seeking that bread that would give us maturity, that would cause us to grow in love, knowledge, and the things pertaining to godliness. All right, Brother Morgan, may the Lord bless you.